right. Welcome back to another special episode of the Daily Brainwave. We are joined again by Ash from the SMN podcast.
How you doing?
And now I understand you have a couple of stories still to tell us. Ghost stories.
Yes. Well, the story that I had hinted at last time about the haunting on Nantucket, I looked into that a little bit, and I couldn't find any more information, which leads me to believe it may have been just kind of a tall tale that got thrown my way. So I'm not going to try to do that because it wasn't really legit. So what I am going to do is I'm going to tell you a story about a haunted house that I heard about in Unsolved Mysteries when I was a kid that really creeped me out, and apparently a lot of other people as well. So if anybody hasn't heard it, they should be in for a little treat. So I'm just going to tell them that.
Go for it.
All right. Now, this story takes place in the late 80s to a couple who have bought their first home as a couple. It's, I think they're called Alan and Debbie Tallman. Yeah, that was their name. They have, let's say, it's either two or three children. No, they have, three children. And they move in. They're there for, I think, about 6 or 7 months, and nothing happens. And then they purchase a bunk bed, a standard kind of, you know, cheap wooden bunk bed at a garage sale, and bring that back to their house and put it in their basement. And they assembled it in the basement and moved it upstairs into the kids' room. And that's when things started getting strange. So they said that right after that, for some reason, they don't know whether that means, you know, whatever this was didn't like the bed to be moved, didn't like it to be, you know, nobody knows. But the point is, the bed kind of was the catalyst. And they said they began to, you know, have doors that would bang open and shut, and voices that would call out to them, and their kids would start saying that they were seeing things in their rooms at night. They said that when their parents would close the door, behind the door, there would be this image of an old woman, like this witch. They said it was a witch, and they said that she had red eyes and glowed like fire. And this is one of the younger children, like the three-year-old. I think the oldest child was like a boy by the age of 8. And like 2 weeks later, the boy started saying the same thing, and he said, "Mom, she glowed like fire." And as soon as, as soon as the mom heard that, she realized that, you know, even though she had no idea what it was, she knew that whatever it was, both of the kids had seen it, because they had both seen what described her to be the exact same thing. So, it got to the point where it wasn't really affecting the father as much, and then it kind of kicked into hyperdrive one night. He had seen little creepy things, like he was painting the basement one day, and he went upstairs to have lunch, and when he came back, the actual paintbrush was kind of propped up in the paint. Kind of like the sort of thing like somebody is clear. Yeah, it was. He said it was just kind of strange. But other than that, he had not really, you know, experienced any of the heavy stuff until one night he came home from working the late shift at, I believe he was the foreman or a manager. It was a manufacturing plant, I think, but it was definitely a graveyard shift. So he was coming back probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Pulls into his driveway, and his driveway is not big. The house that they filmed that I actually showed was very small. So we're talking maybe 15 feet from the car to your front door.
Yeah.
Pulls in, gets out, and it said as soon as he got out of the car, there was this howling of wind, and he described it like a vacuum, like that howl, that piercing whistle, like when the wind cuts through the screen. You know, the kind of, he said it was very sharp, very sharp. He said, but it really wasn't windy. He said he could just hear this kind of noise in the direction of around the corner of his house. Like, as he pulls up to the garage, he's walking to the left. The sound is coming from the right. And he said he swore he heard a voice say, "Come here. Here." And he starts walking further away, and the vacuum gets louder and louder, and he hears this voice say, "Come here." And he turns, and before he turned, he said there's the scene of flames shooting out of the windows of the garage. And, like, for him, in the smoke and there's fire, and his eyes widen, he can't believe it, and he gets terrified, and he runs back in his house. And he shuts the door behind him, and he just breathes for a second, and then he kind of realizes, like, he's like, oh, my God, you know, my house is on fire. You know, what am I – and so he kind of takes a second, gets his wits about him, goes running back outside, and there's nothing. Nothing. And the only thing he can hear is just normal street noise. So he walked out and looked around the corner of the house where he thought, like, the vacuum was coming up. There was nothing. So he walks back into the house, and when he ran into the house the first time and he was terrified, he put his lunch pail down. And when he was just trying to – when he threw it down when he got inside and trying to – as I said, he was trying to panic, you know? So he gets back inside, and he goes to pick it up off the floor, and he said as soon as he got it to, like, waist height, something just grabbed it out of his hands and launched it across – the living room and smashed a light.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that's how pretty much it got. Now this is the beginning. Now, yeah, no, I was like, this thing was really kind of malevolent. So it goes on where, you know, the two little girls and an older boy. The two girls were traumatized by the things they had seen in their room, the witch and everything. They were terrified. They were seeing things too, and they needed help falling asleep. So the father was laying on the floor of their room next to the bunk bed until they would drift off to sleep, and he said he would see, like, this smoke or this mist or haze start to form around him on the floor. He, like, looked to the left, almost like a foggy morning, and he said he'd look up on the ceiling, and he would see. He said, he was so afraid, he never really said what they looked, he just said these things and these voices would swirl around on the ceiling, and he said one of them just reached out and said, "You're dead."
Ooh.
Yeah, and he said he walked out of the bedroom and sat down in the kitchen, and his wife was saying that, you know, they had to call the pastor. That because they were very church, you know, religious people, said you have to, you know, she called the pastor and said, "You got to come over. You know, he's seen something, and, you know, he won't tell me what he's seen, but he's shaking and he won't stop crying. You know, you got to come over." And, you know, so he did, and they explained some things about the hauntings, and, you know, the priest gave whatever advice he could about it, you know, from the perspective of, you know, their spiritual advisor. You know, mm-hmm. So he told them, you know, he does think it is an evil thing that they should pray and, you know, the general, you know, be, you know, the pious life may help you kind of advice.
Right, right.
But other than that, there wasn't really any time to discuss it. The next night, it must have been the next night or very close to it, the father had to work another late shift and asked a relative. It didn't even say who. I think they wanted to protect the person. Said asked a relative to, you know, watch over the girls until they fall asleep, and told them why. And apparently the relative was a complete skeptic, but he did it. He said, "Yeah, I'll be happy to do it," but he didn't believe a word of it. And sure enough, you know, he lay down and the girls fell asleep, and he looked up and he saw the exact same thing.
Mm.
And he let out this scream that, you know, probably woke the dead. And the wife and mother comes around the corner, and he just kind of walks out of the bedroom, and she's like, "Where's the baby?" And he says, "He's back in there." And she said, he's like, "Get her. Get them. We're leaving now." And she said, "I'm never coming back to this house ever." And she grabbed her kids, and they grabbed some changes of clothes. They went out the door, and she never went back. And,
wow.
2 weeks they moved, and they said that 2 weeks later they had the bunk bed destroyed. And
jeez.
Yeah, and they said that a new family moved in to that house, and they've had no problem.
Well, I mean, as long as that's another reason why you should never buy IKEA, right?
Well, that and the fact, I'm sorry, if you ever actually is like no instructions, yeah, please. Some of those things need instructions, dude, especially if you can talk in a book. Oh, yeah, by the way, that little inconvenient little wrench we give you, if you twist that the wrong way, you can create a demon bed.
Yeah. But, that's what caused it.
Now, I want to just stress, for the sake of accuracy, that I just basically, I rewatched that segment a couple times until I got the beats of it down, and I just retold it. That was the Unsolved Mysteries version. If somebody's out there is like, oh, that's not how it really happened, I'm sorry. I'm just repeating the theatricalized version of it for entertainment value.
Yeah. So that is quite a story, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it's one of those things that, you know, it's well done cinematically, and it was a prime example of why if you mention the word Unsolved Mysteries to people, at least my age, when we were kids, it's like, ugh, don't. You know, like that collectively scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again for sharing that story with us, Ash. You can find Ash along with his co-hosts every couple weeks on the SMN podcast, www.smnpodcast.com.
That's right.
And they cover all sorts of stuff from the idea is bad movies, bad horror movies, bad giant monster movies, comedies.
If it's a genre of film that has been butchered, we've probably seen it, and we've probably laughed at it extensively, and probably very profanely, and we hope you like that. So
yeah, definitely not safe for work, but very enjoyable, and after 2.5 years, they've got quite a list of movies they've done. Thanks again for being on the show.
No, thank you very much for having me. I had a great time.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 185 of the Daily Brainwave. Make sure you come back tomorrow as we continue Ghost Story Week. Ash has just a few more tricks up his sleeve, so we're going to be meeting back up with him tomorrow.